Well, we're here with the highly favored.
No, yeah, of course.
Blessed Zoe in the building.
Appreciate
you. I mean, there's so much going on with you. You've done so much work. I congratulate you and where you're at, because to me, a podcast or something, I know the hustle, right? I know what it takes.
Right.
So to see you and how you move by yourself. I mean, we're going to talk about the plugs. And we're going to talk about the sponsors.
Absolutely.
But who takes you there? You know what I'm saying? It's you. It's your team. It's somebody. It's your drive.
Right.
But let's get to the beginning of it all and where it began for you. And a boy coming from the Bronx. You seem very family oriented.
Yeah.
You know, family was everything, with baseball, with sports. So talk to us a little bit about all of that.
I was born and raised in the South Bronx. You know, immigrant parents from Honduras, you know, who helped us, who came here for a better life. You know, shout out to my grandmother, for sure. You know, for taking all the sacrifices, leaving her kids, coming here, and getting sponsored, you know, bringing all her kids over here. But for me, it's just a story of a kid from the sidewalks of the Bronx. You know, I was never really fascinated by the streets. I didn't like the tension or the violence or all that energy you saw out there. You know what I'm saying? I saw a lot of pain, so I just wanted to always move how I felt comfortable moving. I always liked school. You know, shout out to my second grade teacher, Mrs. Carr. Told me I was brilliant and that I had never been spoken to in that way. So for me, I just leaned into that. And I always found more, I always found myself having more success, you know, and more positive. Obviously things happen, you know, you're in the trenches, you're in the hood. My high school, O'Hallows High School, our first high school, was on 164 in Walton. So it's crazy over there. So a lot of casualties, a lot of things happening, being outside, but I never left my house with the intention of doing harm to nobody or looking for anything. So a lot of this demon time stuff, it's like, that's bad energy. Like, you really going out there and you manifesting these things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as they say, your words are a spell or something of that nature. So everything just turned, all of that has translated into me telling my story, me telling the stories of others, but just trying to captivate something good, something useful, something informative that we could kind of apply and show our kids and talk to our parents and have conversation, because a lot of these conversations weren't had at home.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I remember the condom commercial used to come on the radio. My father would switch the station. Like, bro,
you need gotta, to hear that.
You feel me? Tell me what that is. You know, you're not hiding me from nothing. You know what I'm saying? But something as random as that, you know, it would just be like, bro, what are you doing? But, you know, you can't shelter me from reality.
It's funny you say that, though, because at the same time, the fact that they had those commercials, because now where are those commercials? Right? No. We used to get all the commercials, the kids starving in Africa. We used to see, I feel like on TV, there was a lot that they were promoting.
I mean, we're not really watching TV no more. You know what I'm saying? We're watching the pull-up podcast and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we on this network. You know what I'm saying? We streaming things. So we're only consuming what they're giving right back to us.
So true.
You know what I'm saying? Which is all the derogatory stuff. You know what I'm saying? Things that don't help. Things that don't help us move at a higher frequency.
So, bring it a little bit back.
Okay.
Baseball.
Yes.
Boarding school.
Right.
So, I want to hear about that. What age, where did the baseball drive came from?
The baseball drive came from, honestly, me trying to get out of my house.
Okay.
My mom was just an angry woman. Like, she was just going through her own stuff. And
I laugh because I'm like a Latina mom.
Yeah,
you know
it was
saying?
A lot. It was like, bro, like, why did I?
Because even when we're not, mad, we sound mad.
Oh, this how I talk. Like, that's what you're going to tell you. Oh, this how I talk.
Like, I'm not even, nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you?
And in my head, I used to be like, you don't talk like that at work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
when you pick up the phone, you're talking to Titi, you don't talk like that.
Right, yeah. So, I saw a flyer. You know, shout out to my neighbor, Peggy. She posted about a baseball league. And my issue with my mom, no offense, it was like, it was just the weekends. She worked two jobs. So I didn't really see her like that on the weekdays. We didn't really have interactions. But on the weekends, it was like, whoa, like, the weekends felt like the whole week. That's how long it felt.
So it was good she was at work. You at school.
Cool, but I was like, I can't be here all weekend doing this like that. But I was, you know, playing baseball on the block with the kids. But this was like, okay, I get to play on a team. They have practice, they have games on the weekends. Like, this is my way out the door. But little did I know that baseball was going to save my life, because baseball was going to literally show me the world. Mm. You know, so from playing Little League, I sucked at first. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, I was the right fielder. You know what I'm saying? I remember, you know, all the dudes hanging out. I used to make up stats like, I ain't played, but I, you know, throw a little dirt on your pants, act like you did something. You know what I'm saying? But
ain't nothing wrong with
right,
that.
You know,
you're still
it
on
is.
The team.
I mean, I'm on the team, come but on. I'm making up stats though. You know what I'm saying? That's whack. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
but,
making up stats right, part, yes. I'm yeah. talking about, you know, a little dirt here and
right,
there.
Right, right,
okay.
Like that's like if I repost this content talking about my sprinting and all that. You know what I mean? Like, can't do that. You know
don't
what I'm
do that. He's really switched
right.
it up.
That's why
me
we
right
can't
there.
Make up stats, you know what I mean? But I ended up, you know, becoming pretty good, you know what I'm saying? Mentors, coaches, shout out to Coach Miguel, Coach Bill, Coach Brissett, a lot of pivotal coaches I had in my life, Coach T, Skip. And then I ended up going to high school, you know, went to Ohio's in the Bronx, played there. But then I ended up getting through the Boys Club, right? I became a Boys Club member in 2006. And the Boys Club helps prepare you to take the boarding school exams. Mm. So they take you there, they give you the exposure. Shout out to the academic all-stars, Antonio Ponte, Bill Mitchell, where they would take you to see the boarding school. And we would play against the boarding schools. This is why it's sad that they dropped those programs. Because
oh my goodness.
I remember, I never forget this. They were like, I was like, yo, if I'm over here, I can't, and mind you, I'm in Vermont. I can't wait to go to New England someday. I'm like, bro, you're in New England. You know what I mean? I didn't even know when New England was, but it's all them states, Massachusetts, all of that. But it's such a beautiful program because it took you, if you were away the weekend, we slept over the schools out there. We got to play against those kids, see the schools, you know, and see New England in the fall. These beautiful trees, fresh, crisp air, like, just such a beautiful things that we got exposed to, right? We're going to get into exposure later mm-hmm. on. But then it was like, look where baseball's taking me. Good grades, good character, being on time. You know, the way I presented myself, very respectful kid. And I ended up going to Suffield Academy, right? So that was a blessing because my parents didn't have to pay for school. My parents were paying for all those. And at that time, my mother had just she had beat breast cancer.
Wow.
So everything was on pops. I was always extremely grateful knowing that I wasn't there to play. You know what I'm saying? I have somebody really, really sacrificing for me to be here. And I could have easily went to public school. He could have easily been like, you know what, bro? Like,
this is what's going to work for the whole
family. This is what's going to work for the whole family. But the fact that he still let me go, I had to make the most of that opportunity. And I've made the most of every single opportunity that I've ever been a part of because I know I didn't get there by chance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just always applied myself. So baseball from there took me to college. And then from there, you know, college was a crazy experience. That's where God took baseball away and really made me focus up. And then years later, 2018, 2019, I was in Europe playing baseball. You know, so like literally showed me the world. Took me from the Bronx to Connecticut.
That's what I'm saying.
To
I'm
Europe.
Like those two,
you know,
best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds.
Wow. And you lost your father?
I lost my father in 2015.
Wow.
9 years ago. Long live Big Zo.
Wow. But just the whole story and how much... So you're talking about this, right? And as you're laying it out, I'm like, this is still who he is.
Right.
You know, when I opened up the interview and I'm telling you, you know, for the sponsors you've gotten, for, yeah, these people are behind you, but it's the work you're doing, just like baseball. It was a flyer you saw.
Right.
Had you not made that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody to see, too, for the younger generation to see how a baseball team, whether you know how to play or not.
Right.
It just open doors.
Right.
It's
keep
just
you
something
out the
to
way.
Be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Something to do something.
Right.
Sometimes in the hood, especially right now,
mm-hmm.
there's not much going on.
Right. I definitely want to shout out to a program called Saturday Night Lights that they have around the city. They open in basketball gyms on the weekends for kids to go hoop. So for all the coaches and everybody a part of that, like I really commend them. Giving the kids another resource, another outlet instead of being outside. They able to go hoop somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So that's a beautiful program for sure.
I'm gonna shut that light in my school building too.
Yeah.
So what was that? So you went from playing overseas baseball,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of a sudden now you're with the youth. Because we're gonna get into the podcasting, but there's a side of you that we have to glorify and we have to talk about. Because to me, this is what makes the podcast, and this is what makes your work great.
Right. Yeah, so once again, all the men that have been in my life, like, I felt like I have to pay it forward. You know, I feel like I owe the universe, I owe God that back, you know what I'm saying, for everything, for everybody that he's put along the way. Because I didn't have the best relationship with my mother, you know what I'm saying, very nurturing woman, very supportive, but emotionally unavailable, you know what I'm saying, not a very approachable person like that, you know what I'm saying. He was a person that you got to do what she needs you to do, but just stay out of her way, you know what I'm saying, and very, confrontational, you know what I'm saying, said a lot of things that children shouldn't hear, and this is me not speaking negatively, I adore my mother, but you know, whatever her traumas are, whatever her healing she didn't do, like, she really took it out on us, you know what I'm saying, and
not to cut you off, but that's something I feel as the people we need to hear, right, because there's been times where my grandma sacrificed so much for me, but there was moments where I felt alone, right, and I worried about saying, you know, because it's almost like Malagasia, you know, like,
oh, that's the first thing they're gonna say.
You don't appreciate, like, you don't appreciate the fact that I raised you,
right?
You know, and to say this is to say I love her. There's just other things, because as mothers, a mother right now, I'm not perfect,
right?
You know, so even me hearing it in, it's not only okaying what I went through, but okaying what I'm possibly going through,
right,
with my son,
right.
You know, so I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, never, never. I gravitated towards people. You know, God really put people along the journey, from my second grade teacher to my seventh grade teacher, Mr. Pimentel, to the teachers in high school, to my baseball coaches. Like, there's always been people that guide me along the way. Like, people I still talk to this day. I still talk to Bill Minshew. I still talk to Coach Amar. They still call me. They still check in. Full circle moment, you know, their fathers, I'm a father, you know, leaning on them for advice. Like, there's probably no any major advice that I haven't made without talking to Coach Bill. You know what I'm saying? Still talking to Sean Atkins, you know?
I love that.
Mentors. So for me, it's like, I want to keep that going. You feel me? If I keep that going, then I grab the next generation, and there's going to be a Jacina Love, a Zoe, and people, you know, keeping the cycle going, the positive cycle.
That's
because we dwell on the negative cycle a lot, but no one's showing you the good. So here I am, drenched in the trenches. Like, I love it here. I'm here. I'm in front of you. You can see me. You can touch me. And I'm showing you that's fly to be educated. How I talk to you. I pour into everybody that I'm around. And the youth is where I'm supposed to be. Anytime I'm not working with the youth, life is not life. Like, it's not going my way.
Wow.
And I learned young that this is where I'm supposed to be. Life always leads me back to them. So that's why after college, I just went into coaching baseball. Right, so my platform with the youth was through baseball, but teaching life through baseball, you know. And I went to go play, and then I went into education. You know, I became a second grade teacher at Success Academy, which was a crazy experience. But then it was like, cool, I want to become a dean, but I was trying to cut corners to become a dean. So I ended up creating Slice of Excellence, my nonprofit, where we trade cold cards for pizza.
He's just laying it all out for me.
And then from there, you know, through those connections, when I want to leave construction and go be a dean, now I utilize those relationships and where I've been, what I was doing the pizza parties. I was like, yo, y'all got a job for me? Anything open? Yo, you got a degree? Yeah. So that's why I always tell kids, like, baseball's over, but education is forever. Like, you're always going to be learning. That degree holds weight, and your relationships matter
a
lot.
That's what I was going to say. You know, the relationships you're creating.
The conversation with Zoe is me leveraging all of my relationships, every single one. The podcast, the nonprofit, same thing. Yo, you work in corporate. Yo, y'all got corporate giving. How I apply? Boom, I apply, get a little $3,000 from them, and rinse and repeat. And all my, shout out to all my boarding school friends too. You know, my corporate workers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They at these fly offices downtown, and we doing presentations for them and telling them about what we do and using that money to do the pizza parties.
All right, we're gonna circle right back to that.
Right.
When it comes to the schools, right?
Right.
We know that right now there's a lot of, like we said, you just shouted out someone that's actually open for kids to go and play.
Right.
And they're opening gyms. But when I was growing up, there were so many community centers.
Right.
Every hood, every projects had a community center where we would go and we would play the Sega Genesis. And we would, you know, the things we didn't have at home, we had there. And everybody was great at playing pool because... Right? There was a million community centers with pool tables
like
in them and the ping pong, and that was a whole era of that.
Right.
What do you think is going to take being in the education
right.
system to reopen this? Is this work we have to do as teachers, as deans? Mm-hmm. Is the governor not tapped in enough? What do we have to do? Because we know, right now violence is up.
Right.
Education's down. After 2020, let's be real, what happened to education and how backed up our kids are, and it's not their fault.
Right.
Right? So, what do you think, what kind of work, I was like, I need to pick his brain on, what do you think is it going to take to get to that, to open these community centers again, to get every community that has a Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, to get every community that has a boys club, a girls club. Shouts to LES, I know that they have a girls club still that's running, and they do hip hop dances, and I mean, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. But what is it going to take?
I think the government and some local officials are completely out of touch. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we got to find non-traditional ways to do things and find other ways to create community. And I don't know what's going on with these budget cuts. You know, you saw what happened with the libraries.
I think
over $50 million, they closed down libraries. So, like, you guys are saying, complaining about these problems, but also creating more problems.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't help. So I think we need to educate ourselves on our local politics, understand where this money's going. Go become part of the community boards, right? We need seats in there. Right, to understand where this money's going, because it's not going where we need it to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these community centers need to reopen up. We need to revamp them. We just renovate them and make those things where a staple in the community. Because guess what? You can hire from within, right? People saying there's no job. I'm pretty sure there's like 40 jobs at all these community centers.
Right? Seriously.
So let's not continue to say that it doesn't exist when we know it does.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It is capable. We just have to want to do it. And I feel like the worst thing to do is not to try. You feel me? We're just saying these things, leaving things open-ended, but we're not trying.
Yeah.
And we got to meet the kids where they're at. You know what I'm saying? So if we're going to podcast studio, tutoring centers, you know what I'm saying? Those are all jobs that we could hire from within.
Or podcast centers that do tutoring, and then they could get the 30 minutes of messing with the systems. And because for me, that's what my community center was.
Right.
It was, we were dancing,
right.
But we would start with homework first.
Right.
Once homework was done, we did the salsa dancing, we did the tap, we did the jazz. And I know so many girls who are on Broadway right now just from those programs.
Right. I feel like a lot of it is our mentality towards the children, though.
Mm.
I'm saying it's a lot of negative words around them, like, oh, look at them, oh, those kids are bad, or all of these things. And the way we view them and how we talk about them is the reason why people don't want to help.
And what's crazy to me is that we're the adults.
Yes.
So if the kids, I mean, we do know that this is taught behavior.
Yes.
And we do know that we bring them into the world and then expect them to teach themselves. Because I feel like this is the generation. And I see that in hip hop. I see that in every culture. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that we're expecting just because we did it. You better just follow.
I hate...
There's no teachers out there. Nobody's willing to teach.
I'm not going to use the word, but I extremely dislike people that, well, they didn't help me, so I'm not helping.
Mm.
That don't help. Like, that does not help the cause at all. Like, we actually are... There's so many gatekeepers not knowing they're gatekeeping. In the DOE, there's tons of them.
Oh, my gosh.
You see me?
Oh, my goodness.
In our culture, in the Black and Latino community and our cultures,
so many
gatekeepers, like,
and they're hurting,
you know,
the culture.
They're hurting. They're hurt.
Yep.
And they're hurting the culture because you're not willing. I have my man who his nephew plays Division II basketball, and I feel like, I'm like, yo, bro, you be running drills with your nephew. He like, nobody was out there running drills with me. That's the, like, bro, why do you think like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really a poisonous,
toxic,
nasty mentality.
Yes.
For you to think like that. Like, he could be further along. You know what I'm saying? But because nobody got up with you, you're not going to get up with him.
And I feel like that's how, touching base on a little bit of what we spoke about yesterday, but I feel like that's what we do to our generation. That generational curse, that's talking down about so much, just like you said, your mother, right?
Right.
She was mad about things you had no control over. So now you raise a kid who, thank God, found his way.
Right.
Or you're going to raise a really angry kid.
Right.
And this is, we're getting this over and over. And right now, I think were angrier than ever. Right. I mean, you know, the people who were doing the best are doing bad. Right. Excuse me, I'm spitting over here.
No.
People who are doing the best are doing bad now. So it's like, where are we going? Where is the generation going?
Right. I think the generation is going in a very good direction. I feel like there's so many good things that happen that we don't mm-hmm. highlight. Mm-hmm. That's why the news is very dangerous sometimes.
Yes.
Because they kind of magnify and put the lens on things that kind of scare us or make us think that things aren't going so well. It's kind of a distraction in a way.
Definitely.
It's like, all right, cool, let's light a fire over here and let's hide this money over here.
So, and if we keep highlighting things, you're going to know as a people, like, oh, we're doing better for ourselves. They don't want us to think we're doing better for ourselves.
Right.
So that we keep reinventing, like, right. Oh, I'm going to stop doing this and do that. Why? That's going great for you.
Right.
Keep being that, you know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, we got to change the narrative, you know, and part of a lot of the work that I do is trying to rewrite that narrative, showing kids a different way, mm-hmm. aligning myself with people such as yourself and others in this group and people that are trusting, you know what I'm saying, honest, integrity,
so
success.
Let's be clear with this name, saying? Slice of Excellence.
Slice of Excellence.
This is
label.
That's amazing.
That's my baby right
and you
there.
Get you get a
see the
pizza
label?
Party
yeah.
for being excellent.
For being excellent. We got it. That's not a word you hear every day. You know what I'm saying? Kids don't hear the word excellence like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's only a certain group of kids that hear those words. But COVID, I'm sending pizza to your crib. It's a positive phone call home. Mm. It's something that, you know, parents kind of, they hold their breath when they see that the teacher calling, you mm-hmm. know? But this is us showing that we're
different.
Calling you for something good. Something great happened. You know, mm-hmm. this pizza coming to your home. You know, and now that COVID's over, we back in the buildings. We just sponsoring pizza parties in the schools. So they're sending over their perfect attendance list. And, you know, today we had a party in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
111 kids, you know what I'm saying? And
I love
that. Was only about $160, you know
and
what I'm saying?
And 111, triple numbers over there?
Yeah, 111, you know. And every school week. So this is our third party this week. We had two on Monday, you know, and we had one today, you know what I'm saying? So that's over 250 kids serviced. From an app, you know what I'm saying? From a Domino's app, you know what I'm saying? And those are kids that went home happy, kids that felt like, and also educators, let's not lower the bar, feel me? Perfect attendance, above an 80, that's that. I mean, can't go lower than that. So at the end of the day, the goal is for those kids to see, I gotta be on that list next month.
Now, what's crazy to me is that I have like a, I played with devil's advocate with this.
Right.
Because we have a trip committee in my school, right? And
right.
there's students who aren't up to par with certain things,
right?
Right? And now the trip committee is able to say, well, you know what? This student's kind of failing, so this trip that's coming.
Right.
And I had to stand for that and say, but what about the kids that never get to leave the hood?
Right.
Right? What about the kids that never get above a 70?
Right.
There was classes that I was an honor roll student. There was times where I could, like, I was taking math and I was just getting 65s out of 60s. And what happens to those kids
right.
who, right? And in that sense, I say, you know, there's ways to get them in. There's ways to still get those pizza parties
right.
in.
Right.
Right. There's ways to still praise them. There's yeah. ways to, but I feel like you're touching on a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We started with the report cards. Everything mm-hmm. was report cards.
Because I love perfect attendance.
Right. And then I shifted over to the perfect attendance.
Yep. I love the perfect attendance.
We got the most improved going, but the perfect attendance is like, come on, show up. Like, bro.
And let me tell you, sometimes kids just show up because they rather not be at home.
Facts.
So that's why that perfect going attendance is so important.
So important. Crucial.
Like, we see you. We hear you.
Right.
We know you're here
that
every day.
Everybody,
and you're going to get awarded for being here every day.
Everybody wants to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
Even those working in corporate, right? You want your bonus every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be acknowledged for your hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And being acknowledged for your academic success and your excellence in the building, you know what I'm saying, is one of the most beautiful things that you could do for a child. Because Domino's, say whatever you want about it, not every family could afford it. I'm saying, as whatever the price is, some families don't got it.
You're going to get the $2
you know
pizza.
Saying? Yeah, so,
what
you know,
mean, Domino's? I'm going to get a slice for $4? What
right.
you...
so yeah, so this money going towards the
so
light.
So it's amazing.
Or
yeah,
you need that second
right.
shirt,
that's
or you trying
right.
to get that gym uniform.
That's right.
We got bigger fish to fry, my brother, so I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? So this way, you know, we kind of meeting people where they're at. And, you know, keeping the positive incentive. And the beautiful thing about Slice of Excellence, and it's all year long. See what I mean? Like, No offense to the toy drives. No offense to the turkey
I
drives.
I like this, and I like that you repeated
every,
that.
This is every month. Feel me?
That's right.
Whole school year. Sending. I did summer school, too. Halfway through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I was
I
going
love
teacher
that.
Parties,
halfway through summer
halfway
school.
Halfway through, and at the end. You know what I mean?
Yo,
so,
what's up? Everything rhymes? You out here just with the...
It's just passion. It's love.
I love it.
I'm saying people really poured into me. Like, really, really poured into me. And I wouldn't be here without these people. So
right.
I'm keeping it fly. You know what I'm saying? It's jiggy to be on this side. And it's safer.
And sneaker giveaways.
Oh, yeah.
Shouts to Snipes.
Shouts to Snipes.
Shouts to
Up NYC.
Fat Joe.
Facts.
Right? Shouts to you brought out Dave East. You brought out
right.
Fabulous for the Kids. You're doing a lot for the kids.
Yeah, you know, once again, shout out to my brother Marco. My brother Marco, he used to be a manager at Snipes. He gave me their corporate email, and that's how I started emailing Snipes. It took months, but shout out to Taylor Rodriguez. You know, we dropped the interview with her 2 weeks ago. She's the community
Yo,
impact
shout
manager.
Shout out to her. I'm super excited to meet her.
Oh, yeah,
meet
of course.
Her.
And she's from LES, too.
Fire.
Community impact manager for Snipes. Who went in and found my email. So I was already sending emails, but when she got hired as the number two, they were starting to branch and create this community team.
Mm.
And she went and found the email. Like, she backlogged emails and went and found it. So I'm always super grateful for her. Look at God. So, you know, through Marco, through meeting Taylor, to all the things we're doing at Snipes, to doing events with A Boogie and Dave East in Harlem.
The sneaker, what was it? Sneaker.
Pick a teacher, pick a sneaker.
Pick you a teacher.
Me?
I want to get picked this
year.
Yeah,
we bridging the gap, you know, because the relationship between a teacher and a student is super important.
So important.
Super important. And what's a better feeling than getting a fresh pair of kicks? You know what I'm saying? And listen, I travel, right? Like, y'all got money, bro. And it's all about we spending it in a fly way, you feel me? Like, and I was very adamant is that we not closing off racks or y'all can only go to this side. Nah, it's full store or I'm not doing it. I'd rather not do it. I'd rather pay five kids out of pocket and go pick whatever you want than for me to say, all right, boo, make sure you stay hard to your left. We're not doing that. So, fun fact, I ran into Fat Joe at La Casarela right there, Puerto Rican restaurant on 5th and C. And
shouts to Joe. He's always representing in some way. Coming out of Puerto Rican restaurant.
Yeah, this orange Rolls Royce. Like, I'm walking my dog. You got an orange Rolls Royce parked in the middle. Yes, like, nah, who is that? I walked over there, saw him, went to put the dog back upstairs, put a slice of axe on his shirt on, went right back outside. That's where, shout out to Rich the Player. I approached Rich first and said, hey, you know, I'm a young kid from the Bronx. You know, I do this thing for the kids. And I would love a second with Fat Joe. He's like, what you got? I'm like, yo, I told him I was like, actually, he's loved it. So he's like, cool. Like, he's on the phone right now. Just stay right here. And once he's done, you know, I'll give you your time with him. So I told him. And he was like, what?
I love that.
This is brilliant. You know how he is? Like, really, just pick a teacher, pick a sneaker. Damn. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, you know, the hustler sold separately. He's like, the hustler sold separately.
He's
like, yo, listen, you got the team's information. And this is July. And it happened in November, though, right around the holidays, that we did our first sneaker event with the kids. And, you know, I cried when I got the calls. You know, shout out to Ruby, Fleazy, everybody at Courtney, everybody at Up NYC for making a lot of kids happy. I'm saying, and they gave the teachers kicks, too. I'm saying, I remember one of the teachers got the gold 97s. We did Air Max Day in April when the white and red Air Maxes came out, and they gave them. They did a whole event teaching them about the origin of the sneaker.
Oh, I see. And then, now that's what I want to tap into. I want to do more of that.
Right.
I feel like we need classes.
Right.
Of how to podcast, how to create a sneaker.
Right.
How, like, let's tap into the hood where the creatives are.
Right.
These schools have the next Picasso. These schools have, you know what I'm saying? Our hoods are where it's at. I'm sorry.
Right. I mean, going into that, you know, we got to tailor things to how we can help you be successful.
Yeah.
Maybe we all learn in different ways. You know what I'm saying? And I know we all need the basics and the fundamentals of certain things. But certain things have to be tailored. You know what I'm saying? For that way you can get the most out of a child. And I feel like when you run a business, you know, a school is a business, right? You got to find out what makes people tick. Like, what's your why? Like, how do you move? Like, how could I take that and inspire you to be the best you can be?
That's why it's so hard to be a teacher.
And we have to do that for every child.
This is what it is.
Right.
If you service 150 children a day, you have to tap into 150 minds every single day.
Right.
Because everyone's important.
And build those relationships. Right? Once a kid trusts you, once a kid can open up to you, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was tough the first couple of months, me being new, but now that the kids know, like, Bernard is really don't play about us. Like, he really loves us. And I show
and
that
show
every
up,
day.
And they show up for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to do better. I'm going to behave today just because I want to make him proud.
Right.
Or I'm going to pass this test. Or I want to do good on this Regents test because Miss Moy worked so hard this year
right. On
teaching us and just loving on us and throwing the pizza parties right. And staying after school with us when we knew she wasn't getting paid. It's those moments. It's having those type of conversations with them.
Right. And definitely shout out to Jeezy. I know Jeezy through the podcast world and her management team. And she was the first artist that actually came to my school this year. And that was super cool. She came, she did a TikTok with the kids. She sang a couple songs. That was right before Thanksgiving. And then Snipes brought B Love to
and
the school.
They love that stuff.
Super cool. I mean, people they're usually not going to see. Mm-hmm. So I feel like artists need to really do that more.
Come on.
Nobody was coming to your school to see you.
I kind of got in my notepad that we need to challenge. Like, I was like, maybe we should do something.
We should.
Right?
We should.
And then
100%.
Challenge, throw this, we're going to put what we're going to put together. And then
right. We're
going to challenge y'all,
right?
Your influencers, to right. Really influence.
Yeah. I mean, come
see
the... Listen, you're going to gain a whole bunch of subscribers, fans, people that consume. Remember, there's a consumer mindset out there. Where people want to be invested in things.
But do we even have to set it like that, Zoe?
We don't, but...
See, because I feel like that's the problem we're in.
All right.
That we always got to sell it. Like, why can't I say kids and y'all like, where they at?
Right.
Where they at? I got you. Right. You. Why are we not getting that response?
I think
I'm about to get up on my seat in the Sprinter.
People, money ain't right. You know what I mean? And okay. People want to get paid for every little thing that they do, but it's for the kids. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. You want to get paid for your appearances.
And if you truly believe in the give back, though,
right. You
know what I'm saying? You know it's going to come to
right.
you.
That bum-ass turkey was 4 months ago. What you did since?
Come on. And we get it. The turkey's expensive.
Right. Go to your middle school. And that's why I love the way Fat Joe and them do it. Because, pause, they give out groceries with the turkey. Feel me? So it's not like, here's a frozen turkey. It's like, here's the stuffing and everything else that goes with it. To accompany it, you feel
it.
Me? So shout out to Crasdale and everybody they partner with, you feel me? That's really using your platform mm-hmm. and your name to partner with major people that could really, the movers and the shakers.
Seriously.
People that could really move things forward and make mm-hmm. things happen. And I know that as my celebrity and my notoriety goes up, I'm getting into those rooms and I'm doing these things and I'm telling them, like, I don't even talk about the, like, people want to talk about the podcast so bad with me sometimes. I'm like, but listen, you know, Slice of Excellence is really where it's at. You feel me? Like, I got my own agenda. I ain't gonna lie, but Slice of Excellence is really more impactful. And I get it. All right, you want to interview? Well, donate here and let's make it happen. You feel me? Like, this is really going back to the kids. You feel me? And over 4 years, we've impacted over 5,000 kids. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez.
And so that's the beauty of what we're doing.
And that's changing the world.
And that's changing the world.
One student. I also want to say, you didn't see the clip of Adele when they asked her who changed her life? And she's in the middle of her concert. And I think she was doing like a Q&A in between each song.
Right.
And this woman stands up and she asks, who influenced you? Who changed your life? And she said, it was my fifth grade teacher.
Right.
The way she loved us. And she only had the teacher for a year. She said she left the school.
That's the mark.
Year
impact.
The teacher was at the show and it was very emotional, but when you say that to say in second grade, they called you brilliant.
Miss Cobb. Right.
Like, that's why I teach.
Right.
If anybody asking out there, you're like, oh, the money ain't right, and I would say, I have a little bone to pick with you.
Right.
In one of your conversations you said something about us teachers doing the minimum.
Are you checked out?
And I totally agree with the statement.
Right.
You know, but then I had to sit and really think. And and say that there's a real systematic way of how they're paying us, mm-hmm. so that we feel checked. Because let's be real, a teacher's a therapist, a teacher's I mean, we are doing so many different jobs in the classroom.
Right.
That not even about the money matching up, but there's so many politics and paperwork, and there's so much that goes behind this that it's like, can you just let me teach?
Right.
Can I just be here for the kids?
That's another thing that we gotta revisit and revamp as well.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, just like in corporate, you know, teachers should get bonuses as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, we acting like there's not money there. There's millions and millions of dollars there.
Come on.
And I feel like if we're going to take this seriously, if we're going to say that education really matters, then we got to put our money where our mouth is. Like, we really got to pay these teachers as they deserve. Like, if you say you're a doctor and people grovel over you, if you say you're a teacher, they say that's cute, right? Yeah, you guys shouldn't be known.
Meanwhile, we're teaching them how to be doctors.
Right.
We're leading that to be the lawyer. This is where it's coming from.
Right.
But again, this is why it tells me it's systematic.
Right.
And I'm saying that to say that I wish if more teachers had this mentality.
Right.
To see that we're playing into the systematic role.
Right.
Because it tires us out. We're fatigued. We're tired. We're doing so much.
Right.
But if we knew of the job at hand, we would know they're doing this because they don't want us to keep teaching doctors. They don't want more doctors. They don't want more lawyers. They don't want more rappers. They don't want... So they're going to keep you fatigued. They're going to keep you there. So we know the kids are only getting to a certain specific level.
Right.
We know out of her classroom, because she does so much, only 3 are going to come out with that, with learning that lesson this year.
Right.
Only because of the pressure in the world and... So if us as teachers could put ourselves in that mentality and check ourselves and say, you know what? This is what they want.
Right.
Because I think it's going to come to a point where we got so many doctors. We got so... Because right now the school system is like, okay, where are kids going anyway?
Right.
Right? The dropout now for college is at an all-time high.
Right. I think that's... We got to understand. It's like you have to be honest with yourself and know that everybody is has their own path. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, and I feel like part of the system is to be employees. So when you get outside of that, and you have a natural entrepreneurial mindset, you know, now all of a sudden you're deemed different or problematic. But you just challenge things.
Yes.
Now they're allowing kids. I mean, as long as I get to the answer, what really matters, mm-hmm. right? Like we got to worry about the results. But there's a lot of pride and ego.
10 steps to the result.
Yeah.
If you don't make that 9th step and you still got to 10, you still got the right answer.
Right.
You know that's on the algebra test, the algebra regions.
Right.
If you write out the answer and how you got the answer is not the way they want you to do it, it's wrong. But if the student just writes the answer, they give it to you.
Right. That's weird. That's weird behavior, and I feel like that's discouraging children. You know what I'm saying?
But it's a lot of that. It's a lot of that, and I feel like we need more of you out there.
I mean, everybody
really...
everybody praises the success story, right? And the success story was in a non-traditional, extremely unorthodox way. Mm-hmm. Feel me? So we got to lean into that. You know what I'm saying? Drill music is not the worst thing ever, right? But there's a way that we can meet them where they're at and understand, open up the conversation. Where is this pain coming from? Mm-hmm. What's your home life like? We just got to invest more. But I feel like we also have to invest more in the people that are...
teaching how they express more. You know, like really teaching our youth how to express themselves.
Right.
Because drill is a young genre right now.
Mm-hmm. And understanding that it's okay to be vulnerable, right?
Yes.
It doesn't make you soft or weak, to smile. Like, sturdy is cool. The dancing part is cool. That's a great part of it.
It's a beautiful
part
of it.
The dancing and the bringing the community and holding each other and swinging your legs. Like, you know, we got to embrace it. And I feel like it's easier. It's the easy way out to deem it negative, shun it, and try to close the door on it. Mm-hmm. It's harder to love it, understand it, embrace those doing it, and ask the questions. Right? It's the same, you
or
know,
morph it, teach it, like, let's sway this. It's going, it's good, but it's going this way, so let's pull it back this way as a culture, as the people, you know?
Right. And I feel like, once again, you know, it's not about, well, I'm here and I'm coming down here. No, you got to meet them where they're at, right? That way you can have the understanding. And like, shout out to these two seniors, you know, who are older siblings, you know? And they're going to college, but they're staying here. And in my heart, I wish they can go away, but they have younger siblings. So I definitely want to shout out all the older siblings really holding it down, you feel me?
Yo.
Because they go through a lot, and it's not easy, you know?
I have an exact situation with a student who literally cried to me because she will not leave her brother behind.
Right.
And he's only in fifth grade.
Right, young.
So she's going to go to college in New York City because she refused, and she got a scholarship, but she refuses to leave him alone at home.
Right. That's tough, man.
It's deep. It's a deep situation. Like,
part of teaching is you servicing so many different families. Mm-hmm. Out of 30 families, you have 10 with two parents. They got it going on. Then you have the 10 single mothers. Then you have the 10 co-parents. Mm-hmm. So you have different dynamics in everybody's household. There's different rules in everybody's household. And, you know, shout out to the fathers trying to have fun all weekend but forgot to do the homework. So I had to tell some parents, like, hey, do the homework Friday. That way you guys are stress-free the rest of the weekend. You got to change. I know it's not as fun the first day because you want to make up for all the lost time, but you also have to make sure the academics are straight.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because when she's in mom's house, she's good. You know what I'm saying? But when she's with you, it seems like everything is fun, but the homework is not done. Feel me? So I don't want to make it look like, you know, it's not getting done because she's with you. Feel me? So you got to have those conversations, right? Address it.
You would be a great parole officer, right? Too.
I mean, we got things happen. We got to understand.
Yes.
Life happens.
Life,
you know what
happens.
I'm saying? But
and
also
teach what he learned, because we don't know how this mother or father were raised and if they even had anybody. So they don't even listen. We only know what we had.
Right.
Right. We base our world around how we were raised.
Right.
What we were taught. And then we take from the community as we grow
with
already a teaching happening.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. But a lot of it is course correcting things and also finding solutions. Like, because sometimes we just compile more problems, but never what's the solution?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we solve this? Mm-hmm. I'm saying understanding conflict resolution amongst us, right? Those two young men should have had to sit down and have a conversation, right? The first thing isn't always a safety transfer. It's like, yo, why don't you like him, right? Why are you feeling so strong? I go to the same school. That's not your op. This is your classmate. Right? So normalize,
that's the word right there.
You know, be the big bro in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down. Talking to you, eye contact. Y'all don't gotta be best friends, shake hands, but respect each other's space.
Yes.
Right? Because all it is.
Coexist. Because in life we have to coexist, and we're not gonna like everybody that passes us.
Right. So the hood mentality, this is the best thing I learned young. It's bullshit. Right? Real niggas ain't real. They don't take care of their kids. You know what I'm saying? They got money for Bud and Henny, you see me? But not helping their baby mother out.
Mm.
How? What are we praising? This ain't it. And I'm not jacking that. So I'm gonna remove myself from that, right? Of course, we had some of the greatest times of our lives on the block. Great nights, legendary times, legendary laughs. But a lot of it was also very low vibrational. Right, it was not making me a better person. And when I became a better person, right, people weren't fucking with that version of Zoe. People like that Zoe, right? He outside popping bottles, doing dumb shit, different girls, blah, blah, blah. Cool. He starts to put out positive content. My story used to be in the thousands. People used to always want to see money throwing, all that. It's fun, it's cool, but it get old, and you start to realize, yo, bro, I make $17 an hour. Like, damn.
Where am I throwing this money?
It took me all.
Let me go back and get that.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in Sin City using an ATM. That's crazy. That's a $10 transaction fee at Sin City. Like,
straight up.
Let me get this lobster mac and cheese for the last time. And
last time.
This is it. You know what I'm saying? So you start to value your money when you start to become more financially literate and more conscious. Like, wow, like, it takes me X amount of time to make this amount of money. You know, so.
And that growth is what's lit.
Exactly.
As a man, as a person.
Especially as you start to evolve and new people start to come into your circles, into your life.
That's right.
That's how they're moving, right?
And
that's what they're embracing.
New opportunities are going to come when we're able to.
Right. And you gotta be okay. Isolation leads to elevation. Mm. Feel me? So you gotta be okay not being on the block all the time. And that was the beauty of boarding school, is that when I left, your Jordans were white and blue, and now they're white and red, but you're in the same spot. Right? Still talking about the bum-ass Knicks. Well, I love the Knicks now, but still talking about the Knicks.
Wait,
still
talking about, then, but you know, now? All right, that's another conversation. But, you know, that's another conversation.
I love my Knicks, but I'm just saying for the
no,
like,
now.
You still haven't.
Wait a minute.
Now,
you
we
said
popping
you love
now.
The Knicks now.
No, I always love the Knicks.
Oh, that's why you love them? Because it's popping
no,
now.
I always been, listen, I always been a Knicks fan. My pops put me on. You know, immigrants always find other immigrants. So, you know, Patrick Ewing.
Oh, my.
Family Jamaican.
Was, but come on,
me?
That
so,
was the best. Ever
right, so
Knicks.
Pops put me on. Pops put me on young. But I'm just saying, I say bum-ass in the sense of having meaningless conversation. We talk, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Block talk, mm-hmm. talking about this girl, that girl, drunk, smoking high, overcompensating for things that we should be doing, but we're not. So, and always hating, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of hate on the block. You know, there's been things said to me. Yo, why you always post this thing? Yo, nobody want to hear none of that positive shit. Yo, here come the preacher. Here come Martin Luther King, like, all kind of stuff. And it's like, bro, like...
You're like,
all
right,
but I'm up, though.
And it feels good.
And it feels great.
It feels good, because let's normalize
right.
that being better, making more money, that when we see a person, we say, oh, they changed.
Mm.
Oh, they... Oh, look at you now. Oh, you forgot about the hood. Oh, you...
Mira esta.
Mira esta. That's what I'm saying.
Mira esta.
Mira esta. Se cree que tú te crees.
Así tú eres.
Yo, but that's the mentality. Meanwhile, mira esta feels good.
Right.
She's chilling. She's right. just... It's just something in you that when you start doing for yourself and you're doing better and right. you're seeing results and that's what it really is about. Right. That's where the change comes from.
Right. That's where
and
it comes from.
The fact that you don't want to be reminded of where you at that point that you were. So right. now, if you as my friend, I have to bring you out of that. But it took my entire life to get out of that.
Right.
And now I'm trying to start a new life.
Right.
Where does that leave me?
Right. You gotta cut people off. I'm saying you
isolation
gotta know
as well.
Isolation leads to elevation. You gotta move different.
Now all this talk.
Right.
But we still haven't talked about
right.
the pod.
Yeah.
Right. Conversation.
Conversation was over. You know what I'm saying? Peace and love, world.
Yo, he got the merch coming out this spring.
Yeah, spring merch, pastel colors, long sleeve shirts, four
flavors. This one's fire. I think I want one of these.
Shout out to Natural. This one, everything 101. So this was just season one. That was that. Maybe we'll be dropping again.
You know, he just told me, right? You good?
Yeah. I would have to remake them again. But we're going to see, though. You know, this one.
Oh, and ours we're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just seen
just
the love.
We're going to
find
though.
A way. Yeah, we're going to find a way. I mean, we could probably change the saying, you know what I'm saying, and something like that and drop these. But this Ash, I should come up with a whole Ash line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
saying,
fire.
It's tough. It's fire. Tough. Shout out to Natural Born Brand, my God, Dave. Good brother.
Yo. Can you leave some sponsors for us?
Of course.
Because he got them. Oh, he's like, shout out to this one, shout out to that one. Don't you forget this one, don't you forget that one.
You
Yo.
Always got to give credit where credit is due.
That's
you know what
right.
I'm saying? I don't feel like there's a such thing as self-made. Somebody helped you some way along the line. Mm-hmm. Even if it was a piece of advice that's not even related to what you're doing, but you took it and applied it, somebody helped you.
It's so crazy because you saying in the beginning of our talk, you saying, I saw a flyer and I went to Bay 2. Go try out for baseball.
Right.
Yo, Zo, I'm seeing this in every story you've said.
Right.
I've seen that same little boy.
Right.
Picking up that flyer.
Right.
Picking up that flyer.
Right. Trying to find some
meeting
opportunity.
That email. Running. I mean, yesterday, we almost had our moment yesterday.
Yeah, we almost met Rocky yesterday. Yo, listen,
Yo.
Next time ASAP Rocky is there, I'm going to hold my piss and I'm just knocking on the door.
No,
listen.
But you had the whole plan and then you went to the bathroom.
I went to the bathroom, bro. I fucked up.
And I'm in the hallway like,
I should have just knocked on the door. I just waited to use the bathroom, knocked on the door.
No, you should have never left because I told you, let's go to the elevator. That's where it happened.
Right, that's what happened.
He
right.
came out to take the elevator and I was there. Yeah. I turned the way. I'm like, I got nervous.
You should have held him down. You should have... Did you talk to him?
No. I saw him. I turned around. Then I asked
you told him to pull up.
And then I asked Wolf.
I told you where he was at. I was going to the bathroom. I told you where he was
and
at.
And I said the whole plot. I said, we're going to talk to him when he's waiting for the elevator.
Nah, you was born by yourself.
Called
you should have went by yourself.
Wow.
That way he can pull up and then go, you know what I'm saying? Conversation was all after. You could lead off. It's women's month.
He just said I was born. I'm still on here, but I was born by myself. I'm right. Just going to just sit on this.
Listen, my mom was very, very big on that. That's one consejo that she always said.
No. I heard a consejo. That mm-hmm. shit gave me a consejo that mm-hmm. I'm going to use for my students.
Right.
You said your mother used to say, I didn't give birth to twins.
Ooh, yeah. So you see, that came back a couple weeks ago from kids. All right. Kaba class is on the fourth floor. My class is on the first floor. I'm walking Kaba to the fourth floor and then going back to the first. And he's on time, but I'm late. That's crazy. What are we doing, bro?
And those are the same situations and setups when, and not to jinx anybody or anything, but we think about kids going to jail. And it's those little things we fall for. Right. Simple things that right from wrong.
Because
come on. You know the late bell rang. You know this type of teacher and what she's going to say when you walk into the class. Right. You already know what grade you're working with. So this is something you're choosing.
Then you're going to have an attitude. Then you're going to feel the world is against you.
Then if I say as a teacher, you always do this. You never believe in me.
Then the teacher's on my body. Then,
you know.
And it's all these negative things. Like, I see you crashing out, bro. You about to crash out. I'm saying you're building up all of these emotions, but you're not sticking to the facts. The fact of the matter is, your class is on the first floor.
Just go to class.
Go to class. Handle your business. Worry about yourself. Later. Yeah. Text each other. I don't know, but do what you got to do for yourself. Because at the end of the day, my mother said I didn't give birth to twins. That's me waiting around to do what she asked me to do. And it's like, while you waiting here, you could have been done already.
Period.
As simple as that. The fact of the matter is, she told me to do something. I was supposed to do it and come back. But I'm waiting for him to go get permission from his mother. Mm-hmm. We can go to the store together mm-hmm. if I'm going by myself. But mm-hmm. should have just went. Mm-hmm. Came back. I'm saying, but I'm waiting on other people.
And it brings it down to just doing what you have to do.
Right.
Do the right thing. Just do what you have to do. That's it.
And that's conversation was over.
Yo, and that's
doing the right thing.
But shout out to you, because I felt like, I'll be real, watching your content, and I pat myself on the back too. Like, it gave me, it made me, I don't know how to say it, how am I sound? I'm tongue twister here. It made me appreciate my own work.
Yes.
And it's because I'm about that. I just want to talk about, you're not going to get the interview with the clickbait on my end.
Right.
You know, I want to talk about what drives you. I want to talk about the love of it.
Right.
I want to talk about why you love love. I want to talk about love. Right. I want to talk about what drives you. Right. I want to have these type of conversations.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing.
Yes.
And you've done 188 of them. Shout out to you.
188. Thank
Let's
you.
Go.
I appreciate that.
I was 188.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's important, you know, to show love, positivity, good energy.
And there's conversation behind the positivity.
Yeah.
Can y'all stop acting like if it's negative? Oh, we could. There's tons of things I can say about the negative.
I mean, talk about 2018 when I started. You know, that's the Von era, World Star, all of that. All that low vibrational stuff. It's funny sometimes, but you imagine you home all day watching fights, you're probably going to get into a fight that day.
Seriously.
Because that's all your mind is really calibrated. That's what you really focus and thinking about. And I've been told a lot of great things. I've been uplifted. I've been empowered through these words, through these conversations that I've been able to have access to. Right? So this is me giving people access to things that are fly. You know, education, doing the right thing. You know, okay, you work a retail job. Okay, what's the next step? You know what I'm saying? All right, you're a social worker. Are you going to get your MSW? Let me find a social worker. Let's talk about that journey. Mm. All right, let's talk about that law school. Let's talk about politics. Cool, she's seen the love. You're an educator. There's so many layers to unpack. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? All the things that make you, mm-hmm. right? Let's talk about that, right? Because not every girl, not every woman is built for OnlyFans. It's just not. And not every dude is built for the block. You know what I'm saying? Because those two places, I mean, one can't really get you, well, it can get you in trouble depending on your occupation, but.
Yeah, we just saw a nurse get
you
fired.
You see, the block dude just telling, mm-hmm. right? Dudes ain't built for it. And I understood that that's not what I wanted for myself. And that don't make me soft, pussy, none of that. Because those people don't validate me, right? Those people can't get me in the doors that I'm trying to go to. So I don't need that validation. Or that I've already been through.
That's right.
And these are the same dudes that I'm taking piss tests for, right? Because you can't stop doing what you're doing to get a job, right? But that's how they keep your foot on the neck, though, too, right? Because at the corporate jobs, there's no drug testing. But at these mid-level jobs, there are. I tighten up.
And that's conversations with Zoe.
And that's conversation with Zoe. You know what I'm saying? We got to be honest with each other.
Who is one of your favorite? Because I'm not going to make you, I'm not going to put you on the spot. But who is one of the favorite conversations you had?
One of my favorite conversations that I've had. It's such a tough question.
You know, you've had a lot of them.
A lot of them.
You that know, I even enjoy.
Everyone is so different.
Yes.
But I would say... An iconic moment was the Jim Jones interview.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Being at the Bodega, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Bodega, the spot in the Bronx. Being in the studio with him.
Shout out to my guys who built that.
Yeah, facts.
Ed and his team.
You know, definitely shout out to my brother, Dice Peso, for connecting the dots for me. You know, he's been, man, just an amazing person to me, you know, and I'm really grateful for Dice, for sure. Big fan of him, rooting for him. The whole Bird Gang 2.0, you know, everything they got going on over there. My brother King Streets and them. And just like, you know, Seven, Lennox, you know what I'm saying? All of that, seeing you grow up and see his music videos and now be around him and now have a conversation with him where we're talking about Maury's and Prada's and Pals and Merms and such a fly era in New York, you know what I'm saying? That's why I know people say he was a little standoffish in the beginning. But you know, I feel like but I feel like you either is that gonna stop you from doing what you gotta do? No. I knew when I got to a certain part of the interview that he'd have no choice but to engage. Cause that's a fly era in New York. That's the that 2000s, mid 2000s, you know, bootcut jeans, ACGs, A solos, like,
oh, man.
You know,
and for what they did too.
Right. And for him being, you know, the drip reports and okay, do your homework as an interviewer, right?
That's right.
Give people something that they want to talk about and engage about. Talk about Cardinal Hayes, going to Catholic school, investing in education. Things that fast forward, him being into crypto, financial literacy, opening up businesses, are things that he's going to engage in, right? So I just didn't want to go and say things that I wanted to talk about, but what would he engage with me with? And of course, fashion and financial literacy, he would. And of course, things that he values now as a father, right? I'm a young father, so that's something we could, you know, break bread with. Mm-hmm. We could connect. So as an interviewer, you want to ask relevant questions, right? And also know your audience, right? He's not really into the chatty patty gossip, so let's not do that, right? We're not going to talk about love and hip-hop, right? Because I got my little 20 minutes, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to make him count.
That's right.
And it almost didn't happen because he was like, yo, I'm really not, I don't really feel like talking. Right,
but he went
into the studio, he punched in, made his record, and then he was like, "All right, cool, let's do it." So I was like, "Cool," and I was like, "I had mad questions I didn't even answer, but I was just looking down at my iPad and I was like, "Cool, like I know exactly what I'm gonna ask," and it went from there. So definitely one of my favorites is definitely the Jim Jones interview.
So I love how you just broke that down because it brings me to one of my final questions and. As a podcaster, is it okay to call us journalists if we didn't study it?
I would say yes. I would say we all have different intentions, and I feel like we're giving you the hood news that's gonna push the culture forward. You know what I mean?
And I love that.
I understand a journalist has a job to do as well, but what are your intentions and what are you highlighting? Mm-hmm. Right? So we also have intention, and we're also here to highlight our culture from a lens that's not always, because journalists could be extremely negative, right? And what they choose for us to read about and blog about and things of that nature. So we're.
And not only negative, but controlled.
Right. Once again, with that narrative.
The gatekeeping.
Right? So our narrative and our style of journalism. It's highlighting our culture for all the good it has to offer to creating community, right? through the Promise Project, right? Through Slice of Excellence, highlighting all these great things and building ourselves up to now getting, navigating different spaces and different rooms to then bring that back to our community, right? So our journalism is all about building community, right? How can we change those narratives, navigate different spaces, not with the whole code switching things, no gatekeeping, but let me give you this piece of information and you could take it and run with it, but you're just seeing the love. So me giving you this don't mean nothing because I know who I am, right? So I can introduce you to every guest I've ever interviewed. But your intent for that interview is probably different from mine. Right. So it's not, I hope it hits, but it'll never hit the way it hit for me. Because I know why I got there. I know how I got there. Shout out to MDOT too, you know, power the comment, you know what I mean? This one you had to watch the whole interview.
I like that,
Because you got your shout out early yesterday. But hey.
Now we got you on this
52
one.
52 minutes and 37 seconds in, here it is, you know what I'm saying? That may be the timestamp, it may not. But enjoy, my brother. But shout out to MDOT for sure.
Yo, shout out to MDOT. Not for nothing, though.
Right.
Like, right now, okay, I hold a position as a teacher, right? You hold a position as a dean.
Right.
You could teach my students something I can't teach them. Right. And I'm not talking about teaching them science, math, right? Right. They go to you and they learn a total different thing. Right. So how could I not say you're not teaching them?
Right.
Or you're not a teacher of what you do.
Right.
You know? So that's the same way I look at journalism. I look at it the way you explained it.
Right.
And I wanted to, because I feel like it's been a conversation coming up lately.
Right.
I feel like there's designers out there right now that didn't go to the top schools to be designers.
Right.
And they're running the game.
Right. I feel like people are always trying to discredit people. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of, you know, one industry that we're part of in the DOE. That's part of the problem. Like, the kids is losing because there's no cohesiveness and togetherness, and we're not collaborating at the level we should be collaborating with because, you know, I understand this. I mean, they say things about charter schools, right? Oh, they don't have teacher's license. Oh, they don't have this. They don't have that. But they're educating. They're doing something,
they're
right?
Educating.
And not every charter school is a horrible place, right? So, hey, why don't you do it, right? I don't see you, once again, being solution, results-oriented, results-driven. What's the solution? Are you creating another solution? Mm-hmm. Or are you just creating another problem, right? Where we're just going to look at those schools as less than, not accredited, but they're educating, right? They are doing some brilliant things. They're holding parents accountable. Maybe it's a little aggressive, but hey, parents do have to be held accountable. Your child has to be on time. Your child is not reading at the reading level they're supposed to be reading at. What's up? Are you reading with them? I remember this one parent that I told her, you know, she was a little ratchet, whatever, but I'm like, yo, listen, you got to make reading fly in your house. So maybe you have a book club together. Oh, we ain't going to be reading books out here, you see? That's exactly
it.
That's exactly the mentality that I'm telling you.
Yep.
That we don't need.
No, that's the exact mentality, too, your child is walking in with. I knew you would say that because of how she's acting.
And now,
how he's acting.
The most beautiful thing that the parents decide to do was to do the Friday night book club. So now we're not watching Friday night movies and Netflix and all that, but we're reading together. And it's to no coincidence that the next round of reading levels and testing, everything was higher. And what parents don't understand is that when you're struggling reading, math is hard now because you have to read word problems.
About the understanding. Yeah.
Right. Reading and comprehension.
Comprehension, yep.
Did you understand what you read?
Yep.
Are you able to regurgitate, right, and give it back what you just read?
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, our mindset and our mentality rubs off on our children. And because you think reading is whack, guess what?
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's where that's going. To circle back when we started, when we said, we're blaming the kids for a lot, but we're not realizing that the kids are so taught behavior.
Right.
So they're going to come in. What they're seeing at home, what they're feeling at home, just what they're coming in with.
Right. A lot of broken children walk out the house broken. And then the streets don't help it. It just makes the matters worse.
Mm-hmm.
But how you speak to your child is really important, and it matters. You know, hearing these positive words, being affirmed, being validated at home. Yep. Confidence starts in the home.
Yep.
Right? So if you all you hear is cursing and violent words and nothing positive, you're not being poured into, you're gonna go And hopefully you meet a Miss Love or Dean Bernardes or somebody mm-hmm. that's going to show you the opposite of that.
That's right.
And that was the beautiful thing for me. It was like, oh, I don't have to be or repeat, which is a tough choice as a kid, mm-hmm. right? You don't really know you made that choice.
That's right.
But I don't have to copy that, right? And I went with something that I resonated with and saw that made more sense for me. And that was love and positivity. And that's all I've been pushing. So when I say peace and love world at that beginning of every episode, it's because I want peace from the world. You know what I'm saying? I want us to have inner peace and peace amongst each other. And I feel like those are some of the most important things that aren't being told in the hood. You feel me? They telling you to pick up this pack and bust this and smoke this and do that, and they're not guiding you in a direction that's gonna make you a constructive citizen, a good person, a person that's gonna pour back into the community, mm-hmm. right? So people are gonna get drunk and spend frivolous money, but aren't gonna donate to a cause, right? I had a friend pass away 2 years ago, and she left behind 3 kids, right? Now, did they drink and smoke on the block? Of course they did. But did they give me money to take her kids back to school shopping? Of course they didn't. So that's when I hit up the plugs last night. Yo, I need a, you know what I mean? And cool, we all went and got fresh cakes and fresh fish for the school. That meant more to me than going to get drunk on her name, but not doing nothing for the first day of school for her kids.
That's right.
So for me, is what really matters. Are we really having the impact? And for those who think that impact doesn't equal income, it does. But you got to have the impact first.
Yo, my guy.
My lady.
Thank you.
My love.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
thank
super
you
welcome.
For all the positivity, for all the groundwork.
Thank you.
Because that challenge is coming.
Yes.
We're about to challenge y'all. Just wait on it.
Right.
Wait on it. But you're doing the work that matters, along with living a dream.
Thank you.
And we see it, we loving it, and I can't wait to see what's to come for you.
Right.
Well, for us.
Of course.
For us, for
we gotta all that work together. Stuff. We gotta collaborate.
Nah, definitely.
And this is the beautiful part of podcasting is, I feel like because we're not rappers, we're not like, yo, can I get a feature? Yo, I mean, we are collaborating, but it's not like we're competing
wait,
with
so
each other.
Wait, so you're not gonna give me a feature?
Of course, I gave you a feature right here. You know what I'm saying? I gave you a feature first. You know what I mean?
You're on
my album. I'm on your album. But I feel like with artists, you know, there's more competition because I may not be as hot as you or you may not be as hot as me and mm-hmm. we may not work together. Even though we could have made some great records together because we would have had good synergy, you know what I'm saying? We would have brought something beautiful to the world. But I feel like with podcasting, it's more like it's easier, you know, to reach people, you know what I'm saying? And for artists to reach us or us to reach them because we're giving them a platform as well, you know what I'm saying?
And to say, every podcast is a different conversation.
Right.
Right? So like when you're in the schoolyard, sometimes you want to be in this corner of the schoolyard.
Right.
And you want to talk to this group of girls and right. guys. Today I want to be on this side where right. they talk about this. Today right. I want to be, and that's how I see the podcast world.
Right.
I see like, it's depending on what you want to listen to, what mood you're in, what conversations
right.
you're in the mood to even have. Because right. let's be real. This turns into a conversation later, depending on who's watching it, what they're watching, or how they're enlightened, or, right. you know, so I feel like there's room for all of us.
Yeah, there's room for all of us to help.
And what we're doing, I mean, we want to help.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We want to give back. So, yeah.
I mean, don't
I'm
be
definitely featured.
Yeah. And don't be afraid.
On that next.
Of course. And don't be afraid to build yourself up.
That's
don't,
right.
Don't be afraid to take a step back so that way you can be in position to actually help. Because when you do start, you kind of take it away from yourself to mm-hmm. give. And that's kind of hustling backwards. It's kind of counterproductive.
Yep.
So go make a name for yourself. Go build yourself up. Go get those certifications. Educate yourself. So that way you are in a real position to actually help yourself and others. Because you have to help yourself first.
I so thank you for this.
Thank you. Thank
and
you
I
for this
I can't wait
space.
To see what's to come.
Absolutely.
Yo, y'all heard it here. Y'all better tap in. Conversations with Zoe. We have donate, right?
Yes,
sliceofexcellence.org. Donate. I mean, what else you have?
We got the merch coming out.
The merch coming this spring.
Spring line, 55 shirts. That's
and
it.
Anywhere everybody can find you.
Conversation with Zoe podcast Is the Instagram, Slice of Excellence, is the nonprofit Instagram, sliceofexcellence.org, is where you can donate. You can sponsor, $150 is a party of 200 children. So making, stretching every dollar. Where we come from, we're very resourceful, and you got to make things work, you know what I'm saying? So impact equals income, and I'm extremely grateful for everything that you do, you know, sharing your platform with me. And I'm excited for everything we got going on.
Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Lady y'all.